Our Father and our God, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit may come into this place, and not just into this church, Lord, but in our hearts, that we might leave here renewed, refreshed, changed, and healed. It's in that name we ask and pray these things. Amen. Please be seated. Our reading this morning is from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, written to us here. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we are in a season now, not just moving to the season of Advent, but we have been in a season for 9 months that's unlike anything in my life. Have you felt that? Just yesterday, I was visiting a neighbor whose, I guess, brother-in-law, who is losing their fight with COVID. And so I prayed even after I left, and I prayed a prayer that many ministers pray, many people in ministry pray. It's the Aaronic blessing. The Lord would bless you. The Lord would keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord would turn his face to you and give you peace. And I thought about just not what I prayed yesterday, but even a couple weeks ago when I was thinking ahead about looking at this message, I've always been inspired by people who have gone before me that have taught me how to live out my faith in phrases in the face of great difficulty. And last year, I don't know how many of you have Amazon Prime, but last year I came across it was a documentary on Amazon Prime. I want to put the picture up here. It was called The Pilgrims. It is unbelievable. It's one of the greatest documentaries I've ever seen. Watching the faith that shaped these people and how it shaped and formed America. And you talk about a stories of miracles, okay? This was it. One miracle after another. And the verses I just read out of Hebrews 11, those were the exact verses that inspired them to leave their homeland and to get on a ship, the Mayflower, to cross the Atlantic Ocean to lead to a better and greater world. And what I find amazing about that is that they left there on that ship with 102 people arriving there in Plymouth Rock. I talked about this a few weeks ago, okay? 1 year later, to the day, they went from 102 people to 53. Most of them, if not starving to death, died from disease. And what I have to tell you is the lessons they learn and the faith that carried them, to me, is something that has inspired me greatly. And it should inspire us not just on the Thanksgiving weekend, where people often remember these things, but move into the season of Advent. And I want to remind you again, the passage that I just read here, okay? This is talking about Abraham and his people, but it's talking about them as well, and all of us here. All these people died believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and they welcomed it. And what's that talking about there? This is saying, and then this is not just true with Abraham, this is true with them, it's true with us, it's true of all people who believe this. Even the mustard size seeds of faith, what this tells us is they had a vision of something that was in the future that could never be lost, ever. And that will often be the very thing that shapes our lives and gets us through tough times like these. And let me just give you an example. The example I've used is I want you to imagine, okay, you have two people, okay, both of them are really struggling financially. One is promised in a year's time they will be given a $10,000 bonus. The other is promised at the year's time they will be given a $10 million bonus. How those two live their present lives will be directly impacted what their future is, will it not? If we all of us here got $10 million, I guarantee you we would not be as anxious about some things. And that's exactly what this is talking about, except on an internal scale. They thought of a better country, a better world, whether it was earthly or heaven. And the thing that's amazing is legend has it that William Bradford, who I have often argued that he is the spiritual founding father of our country, when they were at their lowest, those early Christians here in America, when they were at their absolute bottom, watching their spouses and their children die, and they had no food to eat, they gathered together, and all they had was a few shucks of corn. And William Bradford took off 5 little kernels of corn and gave each one of them that, because that's all they could give away. And they ate those 5 pieces, and each time they went around the table of the people there, and they said, we want you to, each time you have one of these, we want you to remember a blessing that God has given you in your life. To remember the blessings. Remember the blessings in times where life is difficult. And I think about my own life, you know. We did this at Thanksgiving with our family. The blessings that God's given me. I think about my family. I think about my wife, Lisa. She is incredible. She is just an incredible person. I think about what the doctor told her father when she was 6 years old. She will never have children. She was basically born with 2 half kidneys. And when she got pregnant, her father was terrified it was going to be a Julia Roberts and Steel Magnolias all over again. She would not be able to carry the child. And here we are, 6 children later. I think about my colleagues that I come to work with every day. Some of the greatest people I've ever known. I think about God's provision in my life. You know, years ago when we had our 3rd child, people said, you should not have any more children. You will never be able to afford to send them to college. Okay? Okay. That was before we had another 3. And you know what? It's hard, but you know what? The thing, God always seems to provide just what we need. Just to get us through that day. I think about the blessings of this church. You make coming here so rewarding. The best group of people I've ever been around. And believe me, I mean, there's been times where other churches have come calling. I just never felt I was ready to leave here. I love this place. I think back, and I said this recently, I think back in the blessings of my trials and tribulations of my life. I would never want to go through some of the things I went through again. And yet I can say now that I have some distance. I think it takes some distance sometime to do this, to look back and realize those things, those trials, those tribulations, those hardships have made me a better father, a better husband, a better pastor, a better Christian. And a lot of you here can say the exact same thing. And that's exactly what happened with these pilgrims, these early Christians. Okay, they began to pray at the absolute worst, and they began to pray that God would provide a miracle for them. And boy, did God show up. And let me tell you something. When you pray for God to move, you better be ready for him to move, and he will move in unexpected ways. And it wasn't just one miracle, it was two miracles. One of the miracles, his name was Somerset. Okay. A Native American who walked boldly into the camp of those early pilgrims, wearing nothing but a loincloth and carrying a bow. Hello? He was from the Wampanoag tribe, and he came seeking peace. And the thing about it is he could speak English. I'll get more to that in a minute. And he sat down with them at a table and began to negotiate how that each people group could serve the other. And here's the thing that's amazing about the two people, two tribes, two groups that believe very different than one another came together. It can be done. So in a country where we're so divisive, people can come together who think different than other people. And they begin to talk about how they could live in peace with one another and live side by side. And not only that, come to the aid of the other if the other was being harmed. And so that was a miracle. The other miracle was a man named Disquantum, who the world now knows as Squanto. It's been popularly said, and I have to say I may be in agreement here, he was the man that saved America. I don't think this is an overstatement. This is a miracle on so many levels, so many levels. Let me just paint the background of this. Because these early pilgrims, they were about to lose everything. I don't think they could have made it through another winter. I do not think they could have survived. And this young Native American shows up named Squanto, and you got to realize, he spoke English. Now, how in the world did he, how could he speak English? You talk about the providence of God here. And you talk about a story of what you meant for evil, God turned around and used it for good. Squanto was also born on the Plymouth Rock. And English traders came through about a decade earlier and made slaves of many of the Native Americans and put them on a ship and took them back to England. And Squanto was one of them. So the English took and sold him into slavery, where he would serve in England and France for the next decade. Eventually, he won his freedom, and he secured enough money to travel back to America to be reunited with his tribe, only to get here to discover every single person in his tribe and his family, they were all dead, everybody. They were all wiped out because of disease, every one of them. A couple years later, new English people showed up, these pilgrims, and they built their houses on the exact place he grew up. You would think that would sour him. What did he do? He went into this tribe looking for peace. And later on, I understand he became a Christian. And he lived with them. And he taught them how to plant crops. And he taught them how to survive the brutal winters there in Massachusetts. And he was there when that first harvest of corn came in. He was there to harvest it with them. It's just a miracle. And when the leaves began to turn, and that second autumn, when it was getting so cold, they all came together for, as I understand, almost a week to share in the bountiful harvest. As John Hallen, remember John Hallen I talked about a few weeks ago, wrote, "We in a special manner rejoice together after we gathered the fruit of our labors." And it was there, okay, in Thanksgiving, you could say, it was the first Thanksgiving in American history. Now, they didn't call it Thanksgiving then. They called it providence. They called it grace from God. And 90 people from the Wampanoag tribe showed up. And you can listen to it on that documentary. Okay, they stayed there for 3 days as they played games together. As they ate together, they went out and hunted and got 5 deer to share with each other. They broke bread together. And the thing that's amazing to me, it was this humble event was born out of great suffering, out of great trials, out of great tribulations. And it would be recast as one of the most defining moments in American history. Now think about that. The suffering gave birth to something greater. And why it's so defining and why it's so important is because it's a true story. A lot of it's been fluff and made up over the years, but I can tell you this, the essence of it, the truth of it is a true story about alliance, about abundance, about envisioning a better future, a better world, where people who are maybe believe and are completely different than you are brought together to celebrate the providence of God, the hand of God. Okay, now that's one lesson. The other lesson that I think, and the one that I think that has profoundly touched me in such a way, is the reason why they felt so thankful, the reason why they felt so grateful, is because there was probably not a person there, whether it was the Wampanoag tribe or those 53 left remaining pilgrims, there was probably not a person there who did not know and remember a life of misery over the last couple of years. Both sides had lost so many people. And so their days, really, it wasn't just a day. It was a lifestyle of thanksgiving that was born out of grief. That's where it came from. Now, we don't usually attach loss with abundance. But I've come to know, and the Bible, I think, certainly upholds this, that you cannot truly appreciate abundance unless you've had loss. I don't think I have to make too hard of an argument for that here, okay? There's not a person who doesn't know this, okay? You cannot truly appreciate what it means to have money unless there has been a time that you did not have it. There's not a person here who does not understand what it's like to struggle with mental health or to struggle or to see what it's like to have a life that's normal unless you've been times you look back and realize there have been times where you have felt depressed and feel like you couldn't get out of bed in the morning. It's hard to appreciate what it's like to have to feel good and normal unless there's been times where you feel like your body was failing you. I don't think I have to make too hard of an argument here. It's hard to appreciate what it means to come on a Sunday morning and sing songs and celebrate the Lord's Supper and be together as a body unless there's a time when you can look back where this was taken away. Hello? We're still feeling this. We cannot truly appreciate what it's like to be in plenty unless there's been time when we have been in want. I remember the the Charles Spurgeon sermon. This was a gem. When he said, the beggars and those that live in poverty, they always appreciate the food better than people who are rich. He said, the beggars, those that are hungry, he said, they cheer at every dish that comes into the kitchen. That is the way it is with God's people. Okay. This is the reason why it is easy to forget what Advent's about and get caught up in all the commercialism unless you realize there is a reason why Jesus was born, why he came, why he suffered, why he died, and why he had to overcome the grave. And that is to fix what is not only broken in the world, but to fix what is broken in here. Because all of us in here, if we are put in the wrong circumstances, all of us are capable of doing things we didn't think were imaginable. It's the reason why you think about the words of amazing grace. Okay, what it does not say is, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a pretty good person like me. Okay? It doesn't say that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch. When you realize that, the gospel actually becomes real. Advent becomes more special. Because, and now that, you become so much more grateful for God's abundance, not only in our lives, but what he gives us. You become grateful, you become thankful. It is an amazing thing to be around people that are thankful, to be around people that are grateful. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, if you're around people that are thankful and grateful, it's infectious. You realize, gosh, I am really turned into a complainer, right? When you're around people like that. And even further than that, when it is to remember that not God not only blesses you, God has not only kept his covenant with you, but when you remember that, you never, ever forget it. Ever forget it. And so for these early pilgrims, and those first years, those first Christians, their impact would change the course of history. They stuck it out. They survived. And they were searching for a new Jerusalem. That honestly, here we are 400 years later, and we are reaping the rewards that they saw in the future. Each one of us here. Because within 10 years, this is almost hard to believe, within 10 years, 70,000 more people would show up in North America. 110 new communities were formed. And it was just 10 years later, okay, that John Winthrop, in my opinion, probably gave the most famous sermon in American history there in the Massachusetts Bay Colony as he stood up on the rock and reminded people of the passage out of Matthew 5 where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." And talked about the Old Testament, there, you are a light to the nations. It's a season of Advent. We move into a season of light. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it. And Winthrop said to them, "You are the light of the world. You are the city on the top of a hill." And he said, from here forth, and from here out, his famous phrase was, "The eyes of the people," in other words, "the eyes of the world will be upon us. Let your faith shine in seasons where it is dark." And honestly, what he talked about is as body of believers, we need to have communal charity. We need to have affection. We need to have unity. We need to be the ones that are leading in times where it looks like it's dark and it's tough. And Winthrop went on to say, okay, the driving force in every generation thereafter. Now again, he's talking to people of faith here, is that we need to live lives of generosity. We need to be the ones that people look to and said, "Wow, look how they love one another. Look what they're doing." And he actually says, this will be a struggle for every generation. It's going to be, you're going to have to fight for it. It's going to be a struggle. And I think it brings up a very interesting point. When I was sitting there reading through Winthrop's sermon again, I've done it probably a dozen times. And that is, we look back over these last 400 years, and I think it brings up a very interesting question. Does God perform a miracle for one country and not for another? In other words, does God favor one nation over another? I think the short answer is no, but there's an addendum to it. And that is that God's, in the Old Testament is overwhelming like this, that God seems to bless people and seems to bless nations if we take the blessings that he gives us and we give it to others. If we begin to fail to do that, we are no longer walking with God. It's a test. And what this means is, it doesn't mean God has blessed us because we're any better than anybody, because we're not. God doesn't give salvation to us because we're any better than anybody, because we're not. It means deep down inside, deep, deep, deep down inside, we know that every single thing we got is from God. And that is just straight up gospel. It is from Him. And so with it carries an incredible responsibility for us. And I say that as we move into here to Advent, in some of the most difficult days in our nation's history, as we move into this Advent, I want you to remember the reason why God has blessed us, okay, from sea to shining sea, is for us to be a blessing between the seas and even beyond them. That is why God has given it to us. And I'll leave you with this. I have William Bradford, who I talked about earlier, who I've said who is the spiritual founding father of our country. Just days before he died, he wrote a poem. Gosh, it was prophetic. That man was plugged into God. And I have it on my desk, actually. It's up on my wall. I want to put part of it up here. Look what he says here. But them, a place God did provide, and wilderness in them did guide unto the American shore, where they made way for many more. You know who the more are, don't you? We, us, people who've gone before us. And this is what he says, okay, when they first arrived there, okay. They broke the ice themselves alone, so they, those early pilgrims, became a stepping stone for all others who in like case were glad, praise God, to find a resting place. It is through many dangers, toils, and snares. Each one of us in here have already come. And it's God's grace that's brought us safe this far. And praise God, it's His grace that will lead us home. Let's pray. Lord, we pray during this Advent season, we pray for the blessing in our lives. We pray that You would keep us, that You would make Your face to shine upon us, that You would be gracious to us here in this Advent season, that You would turn Your face toward us and give us peace, that peace might be a light for others who are walking in darkness, that they may see the light and see You and praise You in heaven. It's in that name we ask and pray these things. Amen.